You've heard our open themes with listeners talking about their vocations.
Missouri dairy farmers, love issues, etc.
And what they're doing while listening to issues, etc.
This is Mark from Michigan, and I am a lawnmower listener. We love issues, etc.
We're looking for more of these elements to include in our open themes. Tell us about your vocation, hobby, or what you do while listening to Issues Etc. Call the Issues Etc. comment line 24/7 at 618-223-8382. If you make a mistake, just start over. 618-223-8382. Thanks for listening, and thanks for contributing to Issues Etc. 618-223-8382.
One of the criticisms that Cecile Richards, president of the nation's largest abortion provider, Planned Parenthood, has leveled at the Trump administration is that 81% of President Trump's judicial nominees are men. If confirmed, she says, they could reshape the judiciary for years to come. Courts matter, says Cecile Richards. Well, is she right? Yes, she is. Does that mean that she supports women in the judiciary? Well, not always. Seems to be a bit of a double standard. We're going to be talking about whether or not abortion supporters support women in the judiciary. Margot Cleveland joins us on this Thursday afternoon. She's a regular guest, attorney and graduate of the University of Notre Dame Law School, adjunct professor for the College of Business at Notre Dame, and senior contributor to The Federalist, author of a recent column there titled, Abortion Supporters Pretend to Care About Women Judges to Hide an Anti-Woman Legal Goal. Margot, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Great. Thanks so much, Todd.
What is the current narrative, kind of war on women narrative being spun by abortion supporters when it comes to the U.S. judiciary?
Sure. So I think that you're seeing a attack presented that the conservative judges being appointed, the originalist judges, are anti-woman because they are not supporting abortion rights, that they're attacking birth control. And it's going to depend if they're going to call this women's health care, reproductive freedom. But you actually had Cecile Richards from Planned Parenthood coming out saying that it's going to affect women for decades to come. And then when she breaks it down, she's focusing on really two different aspects of case law that's going through the court system right now. And one of those is on abortion and one is on birth control. And a lot of people aren't going to be able to get into the weeds on these cases because they're actually pretty complex. So I think that they're just hitting with the narrative of they're going to try to pull your birth control away. They're going to try to prevent you from having an abortion if Trump's judicial nominees are confirmed.
They kind of want to have their cake and eat it, too. They want to call for women and criticize the Trump administration for not nominating enough women, proportion of women. But when he does nominate women, they want to feel free to call for them not to be confirmed because of their judicial philosophy.
Absolutely. It just shows that the left really doesn't care about women. They care about the philosophy. And you saw that going back to the Women's March, where pro-life women were not invited. They were disinvited. They were excluded from it. And you see that with the judiciary. When then Professor Amy Barrett was up for confirmation, you saw her being attacked for the dogma, living loudly, just some outrageous attacks. Then after she's confirmed, that is who you see Richards attacking as a threat to women's rights, even though in the same article, she is the one complaining about the breakdown of the judicial nominees.
Why don't Cecile Richards, and you also mentioned Linda Greenhouse in a New York Times article, Why Judges Matter, why don't they sit down and make their legal and moral arguments for us?
So you do sometimes see the legal argument being made on what they perceive as a constitutional right to abortion, but it doesn't sell, and the threat of having birth control pulled away, that affects, I think, more women, middle America. They hear that and they buy the narrative. When you get into the abortion, obviously they have to use so many euphemisms to try try to sell that, because as much as they want to say, you know, women should be screaming about their abortion, this is a good thing, they know it's not. They know that the American populace doesn't think it is. So they're not going to be able to sell that. They're trying to get people to go to the ballots and vote on a false narrative.
Talk about this case of an illegal immigrant who was apparently seeking an elective abortion. Refresh our memories on what happened there.
Sure. So there were actually three different minors which were involved. And in the first case, it was a minor who was 17. And the government said, look, this is an illegal alien who has come into our country. If they want to have an abortion, they need to find a sponsor or they can go home. Well, of course, going home, they wouldn't have a right to an abortion, which kind of shows some of the irony here. And they went to the court, and a district judge, a woman who is touted for her womanhood in the decision, said that you have to allow her to have an abortion. Then it was appealed quickly. The D.C. Circuit took the case, said, no, we're going to give them a chance to find a sponsor. The entire D.C. Circuit then overturned that overnight, and there was some shady stuff going on. The ACLU had informed the government of the timing of the abortion, and the government said, tomorrow we're going to seek a stay so that we can go to the Supreme Court. Well, they switched it, picked her up about 4:30 in the morning, and got the abortion. So that case became mooted at that point, for at least the issue that was going on currently. Following that, you had two more minors that were seeking abortions. And same female district court judge that Greenhouse was applauding said, you have to let them have an abortion. Then one of them, they discovered, was not a minor, so they released her from custody. And the second one, they appealed, and then they pulled the appeal back. So the whole issue is still going on. But with those cases, it really is much more complex, because these aliens are not admitted to the United States, even though they're physically here. Immigration law is very complex. So whether they even have a constitutional right to abortion under Roe is a big question. But I think what the left is doing is they're hooking on those individuals to say, aha, look what they're trying to do. They're trying to prevent anyone from exercising the right to an abortion, which, of course, is assuming that there is one, and five justices have said there is, but that's a whole other discussion.
And we should say that Greenhouse claims in that New York Times piece that there's absolutely no law that bears upon this kind of stuff. Is that right?
Right. And that case, there is no conclusive law, because the ACLU had the abortion allowed or helped the girl get the abortion before the Supreme Court could decide it. But at that point, there were three federal judges who said, no, this is not the case. And one of the judges in a dissent, who was a woman, actually very strongly said, look, under immigration law, this individual does not have a right under the United States Constitution. She's from another country. Her country doesn't have a right to an abortion. And she was seized before she was admitted to the United States. So there actually is some law out there that makes a solid argument. Now, what the Supreme Court will eventually do is a whole different issue. But to play it out as if there is no law is not accurate at all.
When we hear people like Greenhouse or Richards use the term war on birth control, what are they really talking about?
And that's the part that is even more ridiculous, because they are talking solely about the mandate under Obamacare to provide birth control and abortifacients, so some that actually have an abortive effect, as part of health care. And they're talking about the exemptions that President Trump and his administration have put into place for those who have a religious or a moral objection to doing that. And the card carriers on that are the Little Sisters of the Poor. They are the ones who do not want to cooperate. And give birth control through their health insurance plan. So that's what they're talking about when they're saying access to birth control, that the Trump administration is allowing people with legitimate religious and moral objections to opt out and say, we're not going to provide this as part of our health insurance plan. And if I might, there's one point on this that I think is so important. The left is constantly saying, well, they're not providing birth control. It's not part of the health insurance plan because they don't have to pay for it. They're getting it through another mechanism. And the illustration I use in my article, I think, just really shows how that's not true. If you have two employees who are working for the Little Sisters of the Poor, and one opts in for health insurance, and the other decides, you know what, it costs too much, I'm not buying health insurance, that second employee is not going to get these freebies of birth control. That shows it is the health insurance that they are providing that is giving them this birth control for free. So it's not a war on birth control. It's really a war against religious liberty that the left is fighting.
So in other words, they want to paint a picture of, as you kind of say, gavel-wielding male judges who are ready, if given any opportunity, to take the average woman's birth control away, when this is a completely different story, that's simply twisting into that narrative.
Oh, absolutely. It isn't about birth control, whether they can buy it, whether they can use it, whether they can have it. And even then, most companies, most employers will have no problem with it. They didn't have a problem before, even though it wasn't required. But now, under Obamacare, you're forcing them to do it. And that is where it's a very narrow set of the population who will say, no, this offends my religious sensibilities. And it's protecting their religious liberties. It's not affecting other people's rights.
Does Cecile Richards, who heads up Planned Parenthood, when she writes an op-ed or something like that, ostensibly in favor of a female judiciary or criticizing the Trump administration, when she addresses the issue of the courts, does she need to exercise some full disclosure on two items? One, that her organization gets almost $500 million in federal funding every year. And two, that her organization may well be under investigation and may well be in those courts.
I don't think that when she's writing these op-eds that it's something that she has to disclose, but I think it's fair game for me to point out when you're looking at it, which I did in my conclusion, that not only is she going to be facing these judges, it's probably another incentive to really fight the administration, because when you had Obama there, they just turned a blind eye to what was going on with the fetal parts being sold. It took a new administration to do that. So I can see that it's not something that they're going to readily put out there as a fair disclosure, but it definitely subjects them to some extra scrutiny for those who want to point out the inconsistency in their position.
Rather than simply kind of the undefined, the courts matter, which you concede to everybody they matter, why should judicial philosophy in the courts really matter, Margo?
Well, it should, because currently we have two very starkly different views of judicial philosophy. And if you take the left view, which is imposing preferences of the judges on court decisions, that really guts our constitutional republic. We were formed based on very specific powers and limited powers by the government, and rights that supposedly didn't even need to be in there because the government had such limited powers. When you don't look at judicial philosophy, you are basically giving up the right to vote on issues. So can we vote on restrictions on abortion? Not many of them, because of Roe v. Wade. When the judiciary takes the decision off the plate, it allows the judges to make the law as opposed to the populace. So judicial philosophy matters. It shouldn't. I'd much rather see the debate of what did the Constitution mean and have the judges focusing on what they know, the law, than what their feelings are of, is this the fair outcome? Is this going to make people feel fulfilled in life? That's not a matter of something a judge should be deciding.
Margo Cleveland is an attorney and graduate of the Notre Dame Law School. adjunct professor for the College of Business at Notre Dame, senior contributor to The Federalist, and author of a recent column titled "Abortion Supporters Pretend to Care About Women Judges to Hide Anti-Woman Legal Goals." You can read it at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Margo, thank you very much.
Thanks so much.
When we come back, Mary Eberstadt joins us. We'll talk about the dogma of the sexual revolution, really requiring from Christians a decision. Which church are you going to be a member of? Christianity or the new paganism? Stay tuned.
Hey, Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore. Thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority. They've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. Thecleaningauthority.com.
Daily exercise for the Christian mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Listen to the best of the church's Christmas music during the entire Christmas season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. During the 12 days of Christmas, Lutheran Public Radio, LutheranPublicRadio.org.